Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening to me on the 16-Bit Catholic. I am Dustin Faber, and if you're noticing a spike in great audio quality, it's because I have a real studio now. I have a real microphone set up right in front of me, a board like you would see at Sirius XM. The radio station I volunteer at, Your Holy Family Radio, that's AM 720 WHYF in Charmantown, in exchange for the fun work that I get to do for them, they decided to let me record my podcasts here during off hours. So it's really, really fun. Of course, the only downside is that I can't record these podcasts without pants anymore. So I'll have to change that mode of delivery. We are joined this evening by Emmy. You know her on Twitter and on her blog as the Catholic Nerd Writer. She is a new graduate, a young woman, Roman Catholic, self-proclaimed nerd, writer, perpetual student heading to grad school next year, soccer enthusiast, music junkie. Opened the blog to give people an inside look at Cradle Catholics after years of not attending Mass and slowly straying away from the church, returning home to, quote her, "I don't hold anything back." But my favorite description was something that she tweeted a few weeks ago by another student at her school. That girl with a blog. Emmy, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing well. You are done with school. You are gone. 4 years just completed, correct?
Oh, yes. It was on and off, but yeah, 4 years.
4 years. Now, there was a tweet the other day where you said, "Wow, Sino College really does not want me to leave." And I would think that that's probably the last thing that you would want your college to do, was to throw more obstacles in your way. What were the last few weeks of school like for you?
Very stressful, very hectic. And a lot of crying was involved,
oh,
a lot of late nights trying to finish all the work, and a lot of prayer.
See, what was your work? Well, like, what projects did you have that held you up toward the end of the year?
I think literature and music, my women in music course, I think was the hardest one, just because of the amount of reading and research and concerts I had to attend, and it was pretty crazy.
Now, there was one tweet where you said, "No, I will not swear in my thesis or my writing, just because it's quoted in music or, you know, quoted in the source doesn't mean I'm going to swear." What made the project so difficult? Was it the time that you had to put into it? Was it the subject matter? What specifically gave you fits?
It was both, definitely. Just a lot of the textbooks that I had to read, especially for music and literature, were very anti-Catholic, which was, of course, something I was not very happy with. And just the amount of reading, I mean, I had on average week at least 200 pages to read in total for all my classes. And
that's
pretty, well, pretty hard on me because I have other responsibilities to do.
Yeah, I think you should have majored in journalism, because I'm trying to think back to my last semester that I had at Arkansas State, and I don't think I dealt with anything that difficult. Of course, there was one test that I failed, and my professor actually wrote on the top of it, he said, "After seeing your low test score, this makes me wonder if you learned anything in your 4 years here at Arkansas State." But hey, now I am doing a podcast from an AM radio station, so booyah, suck it, Mr.
Exactly.
Whoever he is. Yeah, so did you have any mean professors like that, or were your professors just mostly clueless when it came to Catholicism, or how would you describe your professors at school?
My professors knew exactly what they were doing, and they knew they were not supposed to teach liberation theology. And on two separate occasions, two different professors told me that they knew that what they were teaching was not hard, but they didn't care, and they still went ahead and taught it.
Wow. I'm going to read something from your blog, which is located at catholicnerdwriter.blogspot.com. This is from a blog entry that you wrote in October 2010, and you do have this linked in other blogs when you're wanting to, you know, show people what it's like to go to CINO. You said, quote, "I'm beginning to see certain assignments marked down. The tension between professors and certain students, myself included, is beginning to increase. The anxiety is also beginning to get a lot worse. My anxiety had been under control and had gone months without an actual attack, and now I have them every other day. Yesterday, I was told by several people that I should just leave the school to finish out the semester and transfer elsewhere. My poor mother, who's seen me at my worst, has been noticing the same pattern which I display before the anxiety gets really, really bad. Yesterday, I nearly fainted while standing and had the worst panic attack I've had in a really long time. I don't know if my being at that school is bringing this on, but it certainly looks that way," close quote. Holy jeez, I did not ever have that much of a time, but I went to a public school, so I probably didn't, you know, have to face, you know, all of those things that you would face at a school where, you know, religion is seemingly put on a pedestal, but in reality, people are not doing things the way they should on an administrative level. When you hear that blog entry from nearly 2 years ago, how do you feel looking back on that period of your life? Or did anything really change between then and now?
Nothing much changed, except that I didn't have any religion classes this past semester before I graduated. But nothing really changed. I'm very grateful for the experience because it really made me think about what I believed, why I believed in it, and actually strengthened, like, my beliefs and my love of Catholicism and the Pope and God. So I am grateful, but, I mean, it was so stressful that I had panic attacks pretty much on a daily basis while I was there. And this past semester especially, I had one professor who was a nun, and she made my life pretty much a living heck. And it was constant panic attacks. Whenever I had to go to her class the night before, I would start crying and hyperventilating. I mean, it was pretty bad.
Now, this doesn't sound like it's somebody who, you know, just accidentally, you know, says, oh, the Book of Job was in the New Testament. I mean, it doesn't sound like it's, you know, an innocent slip like that. What was one of the most blatantly anti-Catholic things that you had to deal with at your school?
My favorite memory, and by favorite, it's a little sarcastic, but one of my professors said that the Bible was propaganda and that Jesus was really a political radical. And let me see what else. Oh, yes, my favorite one. God is a woman. You can call her mother, quote unquote.
Wow. That's shocking. That really is. And this school is purportedly Catholic, it sounds like. But even if it was just a Christian school, that, I mean, a statement like that, you don't have to be Catholic for a statement like that, you know, out of line. I'm sure even our Jewish and our Muslim brothers and sisters will probably hear something like that and think, are you nuts? I mean, it almost sounds like the people who would say this thing, it almost sounds like they don't believe it so much as they just want to get a rise out of people. They just want to bait and see how far they can push the things. Do you feel like they were trying to bait people and just buck authority, or do these teachers and faculty members, did they really feel that way deep down?
I think it's half and half. I do recall one of my professors, again, another nun, she said that she loved to get a rise out of people, so she would say these things and then just let everyone go at it back and forth. Usually she would let the more liberal students go ahead and voice their opinions while, you know, kind of quieting us, quote-unquote, conservative students a little, but definitely both.
Now, I'm going to read to you a quote. This is one of the religious sisters, Sister Bridget McDonald, who is involved with the administrative aspects of the school that you attend. Again, we are referring to this as CINO College, CINO, C-I-N-O, Catholic in name only, just to avoid any kind of, you know, libel suits or, you know, any kind of embarrassment or anything like that, are not using the name of the school, of the college that Emmy attends. But this sister, to MinPost, M-I-N-N-P-O-S-T.com, said, quote, To me, it is a misuse of power, talking about the Pope having influence on religious organizations. A misuse of authority where he can step into religious communities and dictate how they should speak about these issues. Later on, she says, quote, "We help with the right to choice movements. It is giving us more credibility in the public," close quote. After everything you've been through, Emmy, is that the cherry on top of your time at school? Because I read that. I've been looking forward to this interview for a while because I have been following your blog. And in fact, you were one of the first people I followed on Twitter and started keeping up with when I decided to convert to Catholicism a few years ago. And I know the struggles that you've had. And when I tweeted the article where Sister McDonald pretty much throws her support toward abortion, you said that's, you know, that order is involved, you know, with my education. And my jaw just dropped. I was like, oh my God. And my wife even said, no wonder she has so much trouble at her school. You know, when you hear that quote, is that really the cherry on top of things? Or, you know, is that same old that you've dealt with for years now?
That is exactly what I've heard. The 2 years I actually transferred from a community college to that school, but that's what I heard the 2 years I was there. Very pro-abortion, pro-choice, pro-gay marriage. Basically, that quote tells you what I was learning, quote-unquote, in school.
Let's switch up gears a little bit, try and get a little more positive. Again, this is the 16-Bit Catholic. I am Dustin Faber, speaking with Emmy of CatholicNerdWriter.blogspot.com. How did you keep the faith while you were in school? What did you do on a day-to-day or week-to-week basis to keep yourself strong when it comes to Christ and His church?
Definitely keeping close contact with my friends who were like-minded as myself, and I also used to go to, and I still go to confession weekly, because I feel going to confession weekly, praying the rosary, going to daily mass whenever I can, that really kept me focused, and it helped me not get brainwashed, basically.
When I was in school, would you like to take a guess at how many times I went to church, not counting the times I went home to visit my parents?
I have no clue.
If you guessed 20, you would be way, way over the limit. I think my freshman year, I did go to church a lot. But, starting my sophomore year, I didn't go to church. You know, I just started falling away. I would just sleep in on Sundays. Pretty slothful, considering I rearranged my class schedule so that I always had Fridays and Mondays off the last 2 years of school, which is great, by the way. It's a four-day weekend every week. But I did not have any faith foundation whatsoever when I was in school. And reading your exploits, reading about, you know, your struggles and stuff, I'm jealous. I'm jealous because I think my life, when it comes to the educational side of things, could have turned out much, much better, if I'd involved God. You know, maybe I would have chose a better major that, you know, would be getting me a better salary right now. Who knows? But that's really just me to blame because I did not take God seriously at all. What advice would you give to kids who are, you know, going to school, who might be thinking, oh, I can sleep in on a Sunday instead of going to church?
Don't do it. You're going to regret it. Honestly, the greatest gift that I was given was being able to go to Mass on my days off. And I had plenty of those my last year of college because I arranged it so I only went to school on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So I would get up Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings, even Saturday sometimes when I could. I went to Mass, and that was just a fresh breath of air that I had on an almost daily basis, and that really kept me sane.
Yeah, it sounds like you need all the sanity that you can get down there. What advice would you give to somebody who's checking out, going to a Catholic school, who might want to avoid what you've had to deal with? Is there any place that they can look, any kind of guides that they can look at, or do you have to just wing this all on your own?
Well, I didn't have this advantage, but now they have the Cardinal Newman Society, and they have a list of Catholic schools that are actually Catholic and not Catholic in name only. I checked out my school when I in 2006. That was 6 years ago, and I was reverting back to the faith. I was away from the church most of my teen years into my early 20s, and then I decided to come back, and then I saw the school, and I went, hey, it's Catholic. It should be great for me, and I didn't do much research on it. I went ahead and applied, got in, and then I found out too late that it was not Catholic at all.
Now, when I was reading your blog post earlier, one of the things I said in there was, one of the things that you wrote, actually, you said, I was told by several people that I should just leave the school. What made you stay instead of transferring out?
There were a number of things. I actually, the first semester I was there, and I saw how bad it was, I seriously considered transferring somewhere else, even losing the 3 years I had before, the 2 years I had before, and going to Thomas Aquinas College in Santa Paula. But then I said, no, I think this for me will be good because it will strengthen my faith. It will help me see what the other side says, and it will help me when they bring up their arguments.
Do you wish, when you look back in hindsight, do you wish that you would have transferred, or are you glad that you stayed?
I don't, mainly because I feel like I learned a lot about myself and my faith, and I don't think I would have done that anywhere else. I mean, I learned things that I wouldn't want my future children to learn, but, I mean, I definitely am grateful for what I learned because now I know the other side, and I know what they argue, so when they bring up their arguments, I know how to answer back to them. And that's something that I think most of us don't do. We just kind of look at our side and try to just see our side. But I was grateful that I saw both sides, and I know what they say, so, I mean, I'm ready. Any arguments I have, I'm ready to come back and be like, no, this is what we believe, and this is what it is. I mean, yeah.
I kind of wonder if you might have gotten a better Catholic education at Brigham Young University than you did at the Sino College that you were attending, because after all your blog entries and stuff, it just seems like you had just had like just a heck of a time there. But that chapter is closed now. You are going off to grad school. How do you see that experience being different than what you've been through?
Well, I'm definitely picking the school a lot more carefully than last time. I am actually going to take a year off, and I'm going to work and see what God has in store for me, and then I'm going to go to grad school and really, really research what I want to study and where I want to study so I don't make the same mistake.
I'm glad to hear you say that you're going to take a year off, because I think a lot of people just feel like, oh, I need to get all the classroom experience that I can get. But real world experience can sometimes be much better than classroom experience. So I know a lot of friends that just went immediately from their 4-year degrees to graduate school. So I'm actually kind of relieved for your own sanity that you are taking a year off of school to pray and to work and to, you know, do all those other things. But come on, you got a year off of school. What are you going to do with your time?
I'm going to hopefully work. I have no idea where. Schools are very, very hard, especially with my I majored in religious studies, which is not the easiest thing to major in, especially get a job in something that's related to it. But I'll see what God has in store for me. I have a lot of faith. I don't know what I'm going to do. Right now I'm actually working on a novel, and I'm hopefully going to finish this sometime in the next 2 months and maybe self-publish it and see if I can just keep writing, keep blogging. And just, I really want to encourage young adults and teens to really think about what they're going to do before they go to college.
What's the novel about?
Well,
are you allowed to say?
I always feel a little weird talking about it because it's based on what I went through as a teenager into my early 20s, coming back to the church, and it's just kind of course it's fictional in some parts, but it's mostly based on my life and how it is for a young woman coming back to Catholicism, dealing with anxiety, because a lot of people don't know just how bad the anxiety can get. And especially when you're returning to the faith, you know, it's very easy to say, you know, I believe in God, so why is he doing this to me? It's very easy to blame God and blame, you know, everyone but yourself for what you're going through. So I kind of want to show them that it is possible to remain faithful and still struggle with something like this.
So it's a fictional novel, but kind of rooted in a little bit of your life. So it sounds like anybody who's read your blog or, you know, thought, oh, there's that girl with the blog, you know, it sounds like they're going to have a lot more to read and get a little more insights on that. So you said you'll be done with that in about 2 to 3 months or so?
I hope, yes, because I've been writing it for a couple of years now, but I've been so busy with school, just the amount of work that I've been given, that I haven't had the time to edit it and maybe go over it and change some chapters. So we'll see. Hopefully in 2 to 3 months, and I hope to self-publish it, so it'll be a little easier to get a hold of.
Well, I would say why not just like shop it around to different publishers? Sometimes I think like when people self-publish it, it's almost as if they're like afraid of rejection or something. Oh, I'll just self-publish it because nobody's going to really big publish it. It's great if you can self-publish it, but I hope that you're able to at least send the manuscript to a few publishers before you go with the self-publishing route.
I'm definitely going to do that, and I've been very lucky to already be published. I've had 2 articles published in Audible magazine.
Oh, congratulations.
With Patrick Madrid. So I have a little experience with that, and I'm definitely going to shop it around, but I think I might just self-publish it just because, not the rejection, but I know how hard it is to actually get something published.
You've in this whole conversation, you've made me feel so inadequate. You had God while you were in school. I did not. You've had 2 articles published. I've had a letter published by GamePro and by Sports Illustrated. So you're just like kicking the crap out of me when it comes to achievements and everything like that in your life. So a big congratulations to you. You're out in LA though. How are the Galaxy doing this year?
Oh, not so good. Unfortunately, I think they're going to Liverpool. I'm a big Liverpool fan, and I mean, it's not looking pretty.
Well, you don't mean they're moving to Liverpool. They're just going there for a match or two. But you still have David Beckham over there playing, though, right?
Yes, and funny story. We've heard David Beckham likes to run across my campus because it's in, well, my former school's campus, because it's a very beautiful location. But, I've been to a couple matches, and it's been a lot of fun watching, but they're not doing so hot this season.
Who is in first place in MLS? Do you have any idea?
I don't, unfortunately. I've been so wrapped up with my thesis and schoolwork that I haven't been paying attention.
Yeah, like for the last 2 years, normally I get the Direct Kick package on DirecTV. For the last 2 years, I haven't had the money to do so. And my club, New England Revolution, I say that as if I own them, but the club I enjoy watching, New England Revolution, they're never on TV, and usually when they are, it's on Thursday night on ESPN2 where they're getting the crack kicked out of them by whoever, because, once Taylor Twellman, had the concussion and had to retire, I really don't think that team has been the same ever since. But, you guys got Beckham, you got Landon Donovan, you guys seem like you're set for a few more years.
Yes, hopefully. Every year we think David Beckham's going to leave, and we all hold our breath and say, don't leave us, don't leave us, and then he doesn't leave, and it's great. And then we also have Robbie Keane, who he's part of the Ireland national football team, which I'm very proud of because I'm part Irish.
Yay.
It's all good.
But, I figured David Beckham would have been gone already. I figure he's got, how old, he's got to be up there in age.
He's in his, I think, mid-30s, and he was supposed to go to a team in France, but he decided to stay one more season, and we'll see what happens after the season is over.
Well, if this probably get me in trouble, but I always kind of thought David Beckham was a little overrated in my book, so, he's no Wayne Rooney or anybody like that. And trying to think of the kid out of Brazil. Help me out here. What was his name? Probably like one of the greatest footballers of all time. Which one?
with a kid out of Brazil.
Well, yeah, that doesn't really narrow it down. I'm gonna edit.
What did he play for?
He played for Milan AC.
Oh, Kaká.
Oh, that's not the one I'm thinking of. Oh, Radoninho. Radoninho.
Oh,
I cannot believe I
forgot. Not a kid anymore.
Oh, yeah. That was me going back to thinking that everybody's a child. Now I'm so old that, you know, everybody else is aging around me. So I'll probably edit that part out of the conversation. Maybe we'll leave that in there. I don't know. I sound like such a dunce. Oh, that great soccer player from Brazil. It's like, wow. It's like, you know, hey, that grain of sand I found on the beach there. So, Emmy, what are you working on the book right now? Where else can people find you online?
On Twitter, I'm nerdwriter, WRITER, and that's pretty much it. For someone who has a pretty public blog, I'm pretty private myself. There's some topics that are off limits, so. I mean,
yeah, you don't want your personal life floating around. Don't use me as an example. I put every part of my personal life on online. My wife even had to tell me, do not do the play-by-play tweeting of our daughter Lucy's birth. So you should be admired and emulated for your stance on guarding your privacy online. Because I got to thinking about 5, 10, 20 years or so, you're probably going to appreciate the fact that you were a little more guarded with that stuff.
Yes, a lot of the family stuff and the relationship stuff is off limits. I mostly try to write about my faith, my struggles. Like, recently I've been struggling with praying and going to mass just because I've been in a funk. And but besides family and relationship stuff, everything's, you know, I'm very open about everything else.
Well, I'm glad you were open with your college successes and joys this evening, and I've been looking forward to hearing you dish the dirt, so to speak, for a few years now. So again, I do thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight, Emmy.
Thank you so much.
Big thanks again to Emmy, the nerd writer, for joining me on the podcast tonight. It's a lot of fun doing a podcast from a real live studio. I'm itching. I'm jonesing to do more podcasts. So I do thank everybody for listening to these shows. Last week, I did say that we were going to have Anthony Buono on the show to talk dating and marriage advice. He had some surprise plans come up, so we weren't able to get him on the podcast this week, but he should be on the show for next week. I do have an interview scheduled with him this upcoming week, so we should be able to play that next week. That should be a lot of fun. And again, I do thank everybody for joining me on the 16-Bit Catholic tonight. God bless.